Teresa hey, here from Wisconsin.
Hello, Terry. Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call. I think you dropped.
This is. Sorry.
Go ahead.
This is Donna from Kingman. Happy New Year.
Hi, Donna. Happy New Year to you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you keeping warm? Burning those scorpions?
Yeah, we got propane.
Ah, good.
Hello, Terry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now.
This is Teresa from Wisconsin.
Is it Teresa? Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the call. Evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Ron, Mount Grove, Missouri.
Ron, I'm immediately picked out from Mountain Grove. Welcome to the call. Who's the other lady?
Carolyn from Santa Clarita.
Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And Ron and Carolyn, a Happy New Year to you folks.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
Carolyn from Santa Clarita?
Yes. Yes.
Is it really true that there's a lot of cowboys in Santa Clarita?
I think so. I saw a few. The other day.
I just thought I'd check.
Yeah, there's a dispute.
What about
cowgirls? Yeah, I was wondering.
well, we do have a ranch here.
Do you have a ranch?
Well, there is a ranch here. There's a lot of ranches. New Hall Ranch. There's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here, Carolyn.
Thank you for inviting me.
Here, if you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Carolyn, and I'm calling in from Sacramento,
California.
Talk to the call.
Hello, this is Emily.
We hear you. What city were you in?
Sacramento.
Sacramento. So did you ever meet Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was governor?
No, I've only been here so well. I just got back from California.
Okay.
Hey, Vin.
You guys got to excuse me. I asked a dumb question. Unless I'm talking to the Elohim.
I just programmed Arnold his voice on my GPS, and it is, take left, no.
Uh-oh. It's not a tumor.
What is that?
Your GPS must not be working that good.
That's,
Am I loud and clear?
Yes, you are, Vin. I just...
Muted.
I'm muting the line because we have some static background noise. You're loud and... we're past six. We have more people join in. We are live on BBS. I didn't have a clear connection. Did you hear Dirk speaking well?
Yeah, I'm hearing everyone well, okay?
Okay, good.
Is Terry on the line?
Not yet.
Is Daphne on the line?
Yes, Daphne's right here.
Oh, good, because I was about to tell hi, so you would have to channel tonight.
Thank you for being here, Daphne.
You know, I is usually pretty cool, but if I told him he had the channel, he'd go into fear.
You know, I, believe it or not, I believe I have channels, but then that is very surface talk, so to speak. So, no, I could not answer questions.
Well,
you know something, Hi? We all channel. Anytime you write something, anytime you do music, anytime you have a That's all channeling. Really?
That's Charles told over the weekend when I look.
In fact, nobody talks anymore. Everyone on our planet is just channeling all the time. They just think they're talking.
Well, I mean, what is channeling? I mean, if you think about it.
it's a certain frequency modulation, right? I mean, we tend to call channeling those things that are spiritual in nature, but people can channel music, they can channel art, they can channel architecture, they can channel enthusiasm, they can channel anything, right?
When you look at the architecture that's been made, you know, there's no other way. It has to be because, you know, it cannot just come from a plain mind.
Yeah, well, you know, sure. I mean, if you look at Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, look at Mozart, look at, you know, Schopenhauer.
even the paintings, you know, the big painters.
Look at Monet, look at Bizet, yeah, look at Dvorak, look at any of them. That's all channeling.
Is Terry on the line? Terry on the line.
She's not here yet. No, Wynn.
No. Let me go see where she is.
Don't forget the tissues, Wynn.
Tissues? Just remember the mute button if we go into one of my coughing spells. Hang on, let me go see what Terry's doing.
What I will do, I'm going to open up the line and welcome those who just joined. Happy New Year. We have a bunch of joining here. And if you want to do so, please...
Unmuted.
...in your location.
This is Justin, Mount Lake Terrace.
Hello, welcome to the call. Welcome to the call. Say your name and location.
Hello, my name is Michael Kurzinski from Chicago, Illinois. First time calling.
All right. Welcome to the name and location.
My name is Michael Kurzinski from Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, Michael, I got you covered. Thank you, man. I'm a beer fan.
Thank
Michael.
You.
Hey, Michael, how did you
yes.
hear about this?
I believe I heard it about a month or two ago on Coast to Coast.
Oh, okay. That's where
and,
I heard Wynn, too.
I didn't
hear you. I said that's where I first heard Wynn, too, Coast to Coast show.
Yeah, and I've been receiving some of the emails and listening to some of the on BBS, so I'm very, very interested.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Michael?
Yes.
For being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Happy New Year to you guys.
This is Don from Rexville.
Muted.
Ben, are you back?
Wait a second. I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Who was it? Don was on the line from where? There was a quiet fellow who just said his name was Don, I believe.
From Drexel.
I believe that to be...
from Drexel. Was that right, Terry?
Drexel. Don from Drexel?
Yes, he's here often. Hold on, let me open up the lines and say hi to Don, and please step up if you want.
Unmuted.
Don?
Hello. James,
I don't know why you're getting this special treatment, Don. But hello. It's good to have you. Are you
you're
from
you.
Drexel? What state?
It's Drexville, actually.
It sounds like a drug. Say it again.
With a B. B as in boy. Drexville.
Drexville. That's cool. Thank you. Well.
Muted.
This is Wynn and Terry and Daphne. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And Daphne in Half Moon Bay. And I think Heise is muting everybody. And just a moment. We're just getting our energies together.
At this time, right? Do you want me to start the recorder?
Yeah. Now, I don't think Daphne is going to answer any questions tonight. She was a little bit energetically tired. So, Terry, it's you and me. You and me and them. Okay?
All right.
If Jeffrey was going to come in and bug me and say, well, me too, I would say okay.
I was kind of hoping she'd answer them all tonight.
You were?
Yeah.
I have to help you out. That's fine, hon.
Are you gonna
Harry, thank you so much for being here. Let's go get the recorder rolling, okay?
Here we go. Let's just see.
This conference is being recorded.
No, I got it recorded now, hi, so don't turn it off. And, this is when too many cooks spoil the broth or soup. Welcome, everybody. It is January 2nd, 2000. I got to get used to saying 2013. And this is our Wednesday night call, and we're going to ask questions that you guys have submitted. And what do I want to say? You know, I was talking, I don't know if you heard the last Monday night call, but we ended the call, it was with Carla Ruckert, and we ended the call where Carla revealed a secret talent that we exhibited on that call. Because, and I was talking to Carla about this today, she never explained it before. She made friends. Now, you know, this is also crazy that here we have a woman who has brought through one of the most important contributions, perhaps in the history of mankind, with her raw material. And on the side, there's this angel, Rosie, who acts as an intermediary between us and other angels. And what we did at the end of the show, we did this once before, is we gave somebody, Rosie picked an angel and assigned it to someone, and you could feel the energy as the angel flew through space and connected with the person. Now, either we really did that or we were crazy, but Terry has this knack, and I don't know, maybe Daphne can do this too, but Terry picked this up from Daphne. She picked up the frequency of the Elohim, and Daphne started it. And maybe Carla, like I said, she would come on to any one of our calls and come in at the end and cast some angels to people. The only problem is, the only problem I can't figure out how to resolve is that we're going to have such a huge demand, and she didn't want to do it for more than a half hour. And if we do it one of our regular calls, we'd have to change the whole call. So we're all in an experimental stage about how to make this work. So stand by. And on this coming Monday, there was something that I rediscovered that a couple days ago that I originally discovered, I think, in 2004. And I'm going to maybe focus the call on Monday on this thing that I rediscovered. And what it is that there is a very famous science fiction movie writer who is now dead. He died actually a long time ago. And he didn't know he was a movie writer. He was writing stories for trashy science fiction magazines. And he lived in Berkeley at the same time I did. And if I had met him, he would have been just looked like another hippie guy that was probably smoking dope. And after he died, his movies became huge. And I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm going to tell you on Monday. But here's the thing that blew my mind in 2003, I think, is when I discovered this guy. I was doing searches for the word Elohim when Daphne was first channeling. And I was just reading everything I could find on the web to try to figure out if I, who I was really talking to, if they were them, and what I could find historically on the word. And what I found was this science fiction writer had kept a journal for quite a few years, and he was keeping notations in it. And after he died, and after he got famous, people put his journal on the web. And it turns out he was communicating with the Elohim, he thought. He didn't even say that. He just assumed it. And he had this one entry in his journal where he gave this long description of beings that came in from other dimensions into this dimension to try to lift the vibration here. And it was extremely, extremely literary. He was very smart. And he was talking about wanderers. And this entry in his journal was in 1978, 3 years before Carla Ruckert ever started on the raw material. And I remember when I discovered this, it kind of blew me away, because having studied spiritual things most of my life, I had never come on this idea of wanderers, and there's all these beings in this realm that come in from other dimensions. And this guy who was famous, you'll know his movies when I talk about him on Monday, was writing about wanderers in 1978. And I'm going to read that thing that he wrote. It's about a page long, and I'll probably send it out to everyone. And I think you'll find it very validating in terms of the work that we're doing. And that's all on that. And let me see here. Let me get today's questions up. We have a lot of questions today. And I see Jason in Brooklyn sent me a question. Okay, let me put this in here. This is one of those nights where we have more questions than we can answer. And maybe we'll do another one of those marathon sessions that we did with Daphne and Terry a while back, where we were on the call, the line, for almost 5 hours answering questions. And Daphne tells me 5 hours is too long, and we have to keep it at 4 hours. But at least we got a lot of questions in. And I know it's not just the questions. It's the energy that we hung out in. Because when we start these things, for me, the energy always goes really fast. Even, you know, no matter what, even if it's a 4-hour session, 5-hour session, 8-hour session, sometimes we do live things for 8 hours. And it never really burns out, okay? So I'm going to call in the light, and I know Terry's not ready, and Daphne's not ready, and I'm not ready, and you guys are ready, though. So we'll start. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect myself, Terry, Daphne, and everyone on this line, and everyone on the replays, and everyone on the internet right now. And we let our negativity go. Release it from your body into the highest realms of light, to be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And if Daphne, would you like to give a brief introduction, our sources, through you?
Thank you, Will.
But speak close to the microphone, okay?
Can you hear me there?
I hear you, yeah.
Okay, just one moment. Thank you. Greetings. We greet you, and we honor you, and we acknowledge you in the light of the one infinite creator. We join with you on this day as we move into the new year, the 2013 year, the new transit, the new direction, the new collective, the new beginning of what we would say is a new chapter especially for many of you who have been wondering and who have been wandering, as you have made previous reference to, and coming to understand that your wondering and your wandering has brought you precisely to an alignment and to an attunement of discovery of your own magnificent divinity. Yes, your own magnificent divinity. For we shall tell you that what you seek without yourself, on the outside of yourself, is actually contained within yourself. And you would not know to seek it outside of yourself if it were not first contained within yourself. You seek expressiveness of compassion without, because it is inherent within. You seek expressiveness of joy without, because it is inherent within. You seek expressiveness of artistry or balance or beauty without, because it is first held within. It is the guardian template. It is the ground force of who you are in actuality. You are learning what you are in actuality. And you are learning this by making choices. You are learning that your experiences are not thrust upon you. You are learning that you make choices. That by a choice, an attunement of your consciousness, of your feelings, of your senses, you can choose peacefulness. You can choose serenity. You can choose tranquility. You can choose to go to the place of the interior witness, the quiet self, and watch those situations which
would be uncomfortable for you. And you can learn to watch your reactions to those situations which you feel you have no control over. And you can watch yourself. You can monitor yourself. You can start to become the witness self. When you start to become the witness self, you can learn to shift your perception into a neutral equanimity. The neutral equanimity, the peacefulness, allows you to go into a place of non-judgment. Non-judgment of yourself and non-judgment of others. It allows you to remove the energetic hooks and strings, and thus it frees the situation to change. Once it is free to change, it may more easily move into a situation which you would more willingly choose. You are learning choice. You are learning that you do not have to remain stuck in sadness. You are learning that you do not have to remain stuck in depression. You are learning that you do not have to remain stuck in fear. You are learning you do not have to remain stuck in anger, that these things you do have control over. You do have choices. It is not necessarily something that can change overnight, but it is something that we are working with you on all the time at this point. You have gotten to a place in your development where you are aware enough that there is a connection you are making in your mind between that which you feel and that which you think and that which you experience. And this is a very good thing because they indeed are connected. They are inherently connected. You are co-creators. You manifest not only your exterior experiences, but also your feelings. We would say practice going into neutrality. If you feel depressed, practice going into a place of neutrality. All right, so you are not happy, but don't be invested in being sad. Perhaps you are angry. Again, let go of the anger. Perhaps you are not ready to forgive and embrace the other person, but perhaps go into neutral about the other person. In this way, you will start to see the power of shifting your perspective and shifting your attachments. And you will start to see your exterior circumstances and thus your life and life force and life stream change very, very dramatically. This is our message, a message of new hope and new empowerment and new rubber meets the road for the new year, because we see a fledgling race of beings who is learning to be master co-creators of a glorious and divine experience, making a life that works not for some people, not for a minority of people, but where each and every human being is a sovereign God-child of the universe, having God-child-given abilities, which we would see manifest in joyous, abundant and fulfilling, soulful ways. This is our wish for you. This is the counsel of Ra'an, Adonai, Adonai, Om Sebaos. Om.
Thank you. The next question, let me just make sure Terry is unmuted. Are you on, Terry?
Yes, I am.
Okay. This is from Vaughn. And I don't have a city. So I'm going to ask the question for everyone that would have this question. Because, let me see if it, I don't think he gave a city. So we'll ask it in a generic way. And he can fit in where it is personal to him. And the question has to do with, what is the purpose of my life? If there is no purpose, could you ask the Elohim to pull my spirit out of my body? And I'm just going to make a comment before we go to Terry. Do you know, at the point where you feel there is no purpose, you are at the fulcrum of your maximum thrust forward, because you have every choice possible in front of you, and that what's being asked of you is, instead of thinking there's a purpose that's thrust upon you, you have that moment to create a purpose, and you have that moment to be of service to other people, to do something that contributes to people. And everyone has something they can do that will make a contribution to someone else. And when you make a real contribution to another person, a real one, then you suddenly have value for yourself. You have a reason to live. You have a reason to be here. And when you ask someone else, even if it's the Elohim, to give you a purpose, you are giving up your power in doing that. Now, they may say differently, but this is what I'm saying, because your job is to create the purpose. There's not a purpose that comes in from destiny. It comes in from your creation. And that point where you feel there's no purpose is the point that you have probably let go of all of those 3D things that might have been considered your purpose at one point in your life, like your job, your family, your relatives, your ambitions. Those were all purposes. But those purposes, for those people that are on the new paradigm, and it doesn't mean that that you can't hold the energy for those things. In the new paradigm, you're being asked to hold a higher purpose. And when you hold that higher purpose, you can still flow it into your family and your job and everything else. But those things are no longer your purpose anymore. And you have to transition from the old 3D way of looking at a purpose to a new way of looking at a purpose, and taking responsibility for creating your own purpose. And on that note, I'm going to turn it over to Terry, and they may say I'm all wrong, but that's what came up for me.
Thank you. We make contact. We suggest that you look back over your memories, over your life, and see what you really enjoyed when you were, say, 8 or 9. And what, although there may have been different avenues, different things that at the time you would have really liked to accomplish in the world. And some of those things were just passing. and moved aside as you saw broader opportunities. However, there was one thing which you really enjoyed, and it seemed to have a broader purpose. It seemed to have something that was connected with something meaningful, something almost that was with you, a talent, an ability, a desire to express. We see that this had something to do with letters and with geometric building things, blocks. And we suggest that later on you moved past that. We would suggest that you examine your desires in the area. For when you have a desire like that, there is a reason that you carry this desire, and it is something for self-expression. And we suggest that you examine. You might even get a book, a notebook, and write down different occupations that at different times you had considered, and write it down and then examine what has happened afterward. Was your family desirous of you moving in a certain direction? And you set aside something that you really desired to do and wish to move into something that would be connected in some way, either positive or rebellion against something that your family was desiring of you to do. For your purpose is here, your purpose for coming in to the 3D is here. And purposes have a way of showing up again as they are traveling. The individual is imbued with these. And sometimes an individual can move on to a greater purpose. So we suggest that you take a look at your life, get a notebook, and write down what each of these instances were where you were attracted to something. It doesn't matter so much what the profession is. The most important thing is working with other people, making connections, and learning and growing. And these occupations are a perfect environment to be able to connect with other people and to learn the ins and outs and the nuances in connecting the actual connection is more important than the individual thing or occupation that one is doing. And the occupations are a perfect way to set one up to have communications with others and to learn to value the relationships with others. Guys, the relationships and development of the relationships and the expression of caring for others is a higher purpose to many of the things that, or perhaps all of the things that one finds oneself involved in. And later on in one's life review, then these are the things that will hang with someone, and they will be able to say, you know, I had a really good relationship with Charlie, and I really feel good about it. So those are our comments, and we wish you luck and invite farther questions after you've done the preliminaries here.
Thank you. And this is a question. I think I'm going to answer this question. This has been this is actually a question that is in so much of our material, and this is from Sridhar in Buffalo Grove, New York. And the question is, and of course those of you who have read our materials know the answer to this in a flash. When I look up in the night sky, why do I strongly feel there is some place up there I want to be? I feel so disconnected from my surroundings, this realm, during those moments. And when I look down again, I feel depressed. The feeling is the same as being away from home for a long, long time. Why do I feel this way? I don't know if this feeling is common with others. And thank you for answering my question. Sridhar, what you are talking about is one of the major themes of our material. And I highly, highly, highly recommend you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and our Elohim book, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, Want to Talk to You. Because you are what they call a wanderer. You have the symptoms exactly of being from another dimension. And what's described in our materials is how all of these beings who graduated this realm, tens of millions of them, chose to come back here and take bodies to volunteer to help with this period we're in right now, in particular, where we're moving into a new paradigm, and that you made the decision to come here to help with that. Except once you're here, you have absolutely no memory that you made that decision, and you have to rediscover it. And that is why you're looking way into the sky and thinking you're from somewhere else, because you are. And the important thing is to reconcile that person who you really are from another dimension that's come to take a body with a way to exhibit that in your life. And if you keep coming to our calls and look at our archives at thespiritchannel.net, it's full of keys about exactly how to do that. And I think when you read it in our materials, you'll resonate. And I am sure that many of you listening right now fit that description. And because you come in from a high level, because you're a wanderer, doesn't mean you have it all together down here. In fact, it means you probably don't, because you have a hard time fitting in. You have a hard time setting yourselves up with the goals of other people. And you have to find a unique way to be of service. And that could be being a bus driver. It could be being a paramedic or a hotel concierge. Some way where your being cheers the vibrations of other people up. And, of course, you don't even have to understand all these things to do that. But as you gain into the understanding of it, it gives you more opportunities to be of service. And for the next question here, Let's see. Maybe I'll ask this to Daphne. This is an interesting question. We'll see what we come up with. This is from Diane Schroeder Gardner in Clearwater, Minnesota. And her question is, she became aware that she is one of the 30% of the population that has what's called Rh negative blood. Is there any spiritual or celestial lineage significance to having Rh negative blood? It's Diane Schroeder in Clearwater, Minnesota.
Thank you, Wynn. Just one moment, please.
Be sure and speak close to the mic and loud, because neither you nor Terry are very loud. And Terry's a little... That's better. That's better. Thank you.
Can you hear this?
I can hear that. Now it's getting a little distorted. Slightly back.
Okay, how about that?
That's good. Thank you. Okay. By the way, somebody sent an email that said, how nice you sound tonight. So, just letting you know.
Thank you. We take one moment. This is the Council of On. The question has been poised about the significance of the so-called or postulated Rh negative factor in a human blood typing system. From our perspective, there are certain blood lattice matrix geometries. There are certain phenotypes. There are certain genotypes. There are certain collectives. There are certain energetic and magnetic soul groupings. There are certain systems within which there are certain variances. And within these systems and within these variances, there are certain propensities. The soul has chosen a certain group. In a similar manner, a soul chooses a certain incarnation as, say, an Italian in a Catholic family, perhaps from Sicily, or another person from South Africa, speaking Afrikaans, or another person as a Hindu Brahmin, or as a Hindu untouchable. There are certain categorizations of life experience, and there are certain categorizations of body type, and certain categorizations of abilities, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and other, which the soul has architected for its own experience, design, implementation. The soul, on some level, has chosen to architect and experience a particular set of parameters, a particular set of so-called constraints, and we put that in quote, because the soul itself is a limitless architecture. It is a divine architecture. But it plays games with itself because it is learning to become a master manipulator of this 3D physical reality. And as such, will, quote, play or architect within the biological parameters of what is given as blood type, genome type, phenotype, DNA type, culture type, religious type, social type, social economic experience. All of these things are malleable to a certain extent, the experiences thereof. In terms of this particular question, is the RH factor itself, the negative factor itself, the variance of this itself is significant. And we would say, no, it is a variance. It is a relativism. It is the same as if someone has lighter skin or darker skin, is taller or shorter, is heavier or thinner, is female or male. Some are more female and some are more male. In the totality of all that is, we are all everything, and we are all nothing. We are all that is. We have simply been selecting various attributes to teach ourselves that which we believe we hold in a certain segment, a certain chapter of the time-space continuum. So we would say it is a choice. It is a choice of experience, and it is also a choice of the biological mechanisms by which there have been group and soul and oversoul architected choices about humanity and about biology. These have been made over the course of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years. These are collective choices, but ultimately choice. So we would say to you, it is something that you have decided upon, you are experimenting with, you are learning from, and ultimately you can change. If not in this particular incarnation, in a subsequent incarnation. We hope this has helped you to understand the malleability and the wonderment of your very essence being, which is divine.
Thank you. Next question I will address to Terry, and this is from Michael Bird from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Actually, it's from Amarillo, formerly from Santa Fe. And Michael has physical issues which are causing chronic pain and profound chronic fatigue, along with brain fog for many years, and fibromyalgia. This has wrecked my life and left me financially destitute. As a result of not being able to work well, I look relatively normal. All significant family relationships have been destroyed. And the question is, I have this dilemma, and I've been listening to conference calls for 6 months, and the sources are telling us we're co-creators in this realm, and somehow I'm looking at myself and saying, look at what I've co-created for myself. And why? And he says, since he's been on our calls, the chronic pain has not gotten better. And he feels the energies that he feels on the calls have helped him cope when he's hurting. My question is this. Can the sources help me with this dilemma? Personally, in my heart, I have such a large cognitive dissonance between what I feel in my body with chronic debilitating pain and its merciless toll on my life, and the idea that my higher self actively participated in manifesting this condition in my body and the mind. Can the sources help me resolve this dilemma? Why did my higher self, I'm adding this in my own words, and I was asking, why did he choose to have this kind of situation? What is he supposed to learn from it, if anything, when he feels it's so debilitating? And thank you, and I put that towards Terry.
Thank you. We see several levels here. of the holding back of the full force of what you are capable of. We see within your own thought system a hesitancy to move into a space that would allow free flowing interaction and give and take, and expressing the intense creative abilities that you have. You are holding yourself back, and your body has formed around that belief system. Take a look at this. Do not just believe us, but see if that is true or if any variances of that can be true. If your body was suddenly released of all the pain and all the disability, and you were able to express your intense creativity and interactions with other people that are there, would you experience any pullback or drawback of this? We look farther. On another level, your body has some calcification that is preventing the high-level give and take of systems within the body. Take a look at the brain fog and check what could possibly physically be the cause of that. Check a number of systems, a number of possibilities. Your system tends to be acid, and if it would move more to an alkaline system, it would need to have alkalinity in the diet. There are ways of moving the body from an acidic system to an alkaline system. This would release more negative ions into your system to help with the healing. You, as you think of changing the alkalinity of your system, then think, see if there's any resistance to change, or if you are holding your system in a pattern that you would feel nervous to change. Those are our initial comments.
Thank you. And I'd like to say that when we have a comment like that that relates to a person's health issues, that we recommend you run it by your doctor. These are to be taken and considered and not believed as fact. Thank you. I think we've reached the end of this evening's session. So I want to thank all of you who keep coming back for supporting this work. And each of us is part of this group and are feeling the affinity and the connection and the cognitions. And each of you is an individuated part of God that has the abilities inside yourself to find the answers, to be empowered, and to be more than you ever believed could be. And keep that thought in mind, and keep that vision in mind, because everything starts with a vision. And the vision, if you hold it long enough, will manifest. And start in little ways, not big ways, but little baby steps. Just as we started on these calls with little baby steps. I had no idea how to put this out. And, you know, it's been 10 years and so many of you are paying attention. And there were so many opportunities to give up and say, no one's interested in this. And something in me said, no, I think people would be interested. And on that note, wishing you all the New Year's resolution to become empowered and a conscious realization that you are part of all that is. And we'll see you Sunday on our planetary healing session. Thank you.
Unmuted.
Ian, thank you so much for your contribution to tonight.